Yeah, it's all about being welcoming. Isn't it weird when you meet somebody weird and you have to try and work out how to be welcoming to them? Because sometimes it can be tricky, can't it? Okay, let's see what we're going to say today. So in the passage that Beth read, she said that Philip was amazingly welcoming. Well, I did some reading up on Ethiopia. And in those times, Ethiopia was a really, really rich country. Because when we think of Ethiopia, we think that it's poor. They were hungry. We can remember that from our childhood, that we needed to support Ethiopia, didn't we? Ethiopia then was really, really rich, and it stretched from that part where it is now in Africa right up to the Mediterranean. So this guy who was going home to Ethiopia, I thought, that's an awful long way to go in a carriage. But it's actually not. He would have been almost there when he met Philip. And he was the man who was in charge of the Queen's treasury, which I think means treasure. I think all of her treasure he was in charge of. That means all of her money and everything she had. So he was a pretty high up important person, wasn't he? And Philip, well, he was one of the... Oh, I love you. She's my best friend. And Philip, even though he was just one of the disciples, and you know the disciples were sent out and told to take nothing and nowhere and just meet people, he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. And he was actually one of the people. He wasn't an apostle. He was a deacon, which was, when they were sorting out the church, they decided, like, the apostles would do all the preaching and teaching and tell everybody about Jesus. And these deacons, they would do all the work. So he was one of the ones. His remit was look after the widows. And I thought, why was he looking after widows? But in those days, if your husband died, your husband is in charge of you and in charge of the house and everything. If he died, then nobody else would look after you. You were left. You were alone. So Philip was charged with looking after the widows and the poor people. So he did that. He was getting his hands dirty and making sure people had food and resources. And he did an amazing thing. But he came across this guy who was really, really different from him. Like I was a little bit different from myself just then. And he wanted to chat. He wanted to chat. So he sat with the Ethiopian man and he told him all about Jesus. And the Ethiopian man was so enamored with what Philip had said. He said, well, I want to be baptized. And he was baptized just like Poppy was and Archie was this morning. And he made promises just like they had promises made over them. And it's a great choice to make, isn't it? Choose to follow God. He welcomes us with a new start every single day. So whatever we've done the day before, he wipes it away and he welcomes us with a new start. So that's pretty welcoming. How can we be welcoming? Has anybody got any ideas? I mean, you could bring someone their glasses. That's very welcoming. That was a welcome thing. How can we be welcoming? Can we write it down? How can we be welcoming? Anybody got any ideas?
Smile.
That's a nice thing. That's a really nice thing. Smile. What else can we do to be welcoming? Oh, Tim. It is your turn. How can we be welcoming? Can we be kind to somebody who maybe doesn't know anybody in the playground? Being kind. What do you think, Ezra? Make a cake for them. That'd be very welcome. Thank you. Yes. Make cake. Anybody else got any ideas? How else can we be welcoming? It's tricky, isn't it?
Say hello.
Say hello. Say hello. What did you say, Johnny? A bit louder. Sharing your snacks. I'd love that. That will be very welcome too. Share your snacks. Any grown-ups got any ideas about how to be welcome? Go on, Mina. Being polite. Being polite. That's very nice. Everybody likes a polite person, don't they? Anything else? Anybody got any? Sorry? Invite someone for a cup of tea. Invite someone for a cup of tea. That's nice. Anybody else got anything, any idea? Look after people on their own, yeah. even if they're grown-ups, we can all feel lonely, can't we? It's horrible. Wave, smile and wave. Yes, wave at people if you can't get to them. That's a really nice way to be welcoming. Anybody else got any ideas about how to be welcoming? We've got a few, haven't we? Somebody said something? Accepting people for who they are is so important. Tim's doing a little picture of a wave. Very good, Tim. Right number of fingers. Yeah, well done. You're good. Very good. Accepting someone for who they are. That's a really nice thing to do, isn't it?
Make space for them to sit down.
Make space for them to sit down. Ah, there was another space taken over there. I had a lovely space there. That was very welcoming. Was listen, yeah, listening to people, like actually listening to them and not having your own agenda. Yeah, actually listening, yeah, listening, Tim. Anything else? That's very welcoming, isn't it? Oh, visiting people, yeah. Because Jesus talked about being welcoming, but he didn't have a house to bring people home to. He couldn't make a cup of tea anywhere for someone. He just visited. He just walked around, didn't he? And he visited. That's really cool. We've got lots of things on there now. That's looking great. Shall I tell you what it says in the Bible about being welcoming? It says, bear with one another. Bear one another's burdens. So that's when you've got troubles. Try and, like, help people. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted and forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Love one another with a brotherly affection. And then outdo one another in showing honor. And that's like, you know, when Claire's got a new dress on, I like your dress. She says, no, well, I like your dress. No, I like your dress more. No, I like your dress more. Like, we do that kind of thing, showing honor. Clothe yourself in humility towards one another. And that's that listening thing, really listening, isn't it? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. And show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I can do the hospitality bit, I don't know about the without grumbling. Me and Tom, you may know us, we've had lodgers and people to stay with us most of our married lives, really. And it's not, I'm not saying it to boast about, you know, how welcoming we are. Sometimes it's just to help us pay the rent and get through. Anyway, I was chatting to my daughter the other day, and we were talking about all the people that had stayed with us all our lives, and we were trying to count, and we couldn't. And she looked at me and she said, you know, Mom, we haven't had anybody to stay with us for ages. And then I gently reminded her that her best friend and business partner, Becky, has lived with us for 5 years and is still living with us. She just had forgot. So, yeah, and it hasn't always been, like, so unnoticeable and so easy as having Becky to stay. And it hasn't always felt worthwhile. And sometimes it's felt like we live in a youth hostel. And I've walked many paper rounds with my kids just to have a bit of time with them, to give them some space with their mum. And at times we've laughed until we couldn't breathe. And then at other times we've shed tears over people's rubbish situations. And thankfully, hosting, being welcoming, doesn't take a perfect person. Often you can be tired, I can be tired, or often you can worry too much when you should have faith. You can fear what others think, speak too quickly, listen too slowly. I respond in anger far more than I would like to. And yes, I have been known to work for my own glory, and yet God has freely given me the beautiful opportunity to sit back and watch his work in the world without me even getting involved that much. So, researching that this sermon reminded me that the most welcoming person, obviously, is Jesus. So he gave us that space. Can you see it? There's kind of a cross in there. It's wanted to come down all the service, but you can kind of see a space, can't you? And that's what he gives us. He gives us that space. He gives us a room in his house, says so in the Bible, whoever we are. He gives us a space at his table, which means we're at his table with him. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to be with us. But today, I think the challenge in our modern world is often to try and find a deeper, richer community. The latest pandemic has dug us into a pit of loneliness. Advances in online work and social media tell us we don't need to be together. Alone time is a biggie, isn't it? I need my alone time. People say it. Be independent. Be self-sufficient. Anyway, science is getting there. They're finding out that dying from loneliness is actually a real thing. Human beings are chemically designed for each other. And we need time with those we trust and time with those who we feel safe to offload our worries. More people are having counselling and going to the doctor with mental health problems than ever before in human history. And we live in closer proximity to people, but somehow we get lost in the crowd and feel more isolated than ever. Well, it's lucky for us, because as a church community, I think we're at the forefront of the new community way that is coming. We could still be on the front line to offer community instead of isolation. We already have many groups and ways to connect, from young people to older people. And if you don't know about any of them, ask me and Tim later. Claire runs amazing toddler groups where single mums, young mums, people who are lonely in their parenting can come together. We have old people's groups. Well, you know, the people in the golden years. We have those groups, and loads of those live on their own. It's so important to get together, isn't it? Because God designed us for each other. He made us this way, to commune with each other and with him. We're not meant to be alone or feel disconnected from others. We are a communal breed. We need each other. And a great way to work out how to make this work is to come closer to God, to ask him about it, to walk with him, and he will show you those who need connection. It might seem like work to start with, but you'll see the benefits. So, I've got a little song to help us to remember to do this. Does anyone want to come and help me, Beth? There's a Bethany up there who wants to come and help. We went to camp this summer and took some kiddos, and we learned this song, and it kind of is like an earworm. And you want to come? No, you don't have to. Don't worry. Anybody else like this kind of size want to come and help me? Taller people can too if they want to. Is she coming? Yeah. It's from the verse in James, chapter 4, verse 8. It's good, isn't it, Bethany? Bethany came to camp with me. We had fun, didn't we? And I'm just going to riff it, so I hope you don't mind. It goes. How does it go? Can you remember? It goes, come close to God, and he will come close to you. You got it? Yeah. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. I think you're getting it. There's a chorusy bit, and it goes like this. Can you remember it? It goes like this. La 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 la. Hey, that's it, at the end. So we'll do it again, but don't forget the chorus bit. It's the most important bit. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. La 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 la